Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX Guide Podcast. I'm Mike Seymour. And this week, we're actually talking to Jeff in LA. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you? I'm fine.
It's a bit different than normal. Normally, we do an interview, but in fact, we actually wanted to have a discussion about the writer's strike this week, and in particular, your experiences based in LA and the rally that you went to to basically stop the strike that stole Christmas. Tell us what's
exactly
happening. Tell us what's happening.
This is this Sunday, December 9th, a group with the slogan of "We're walking, so they'll keep talking" had a rally and march in Hollywood to encourage both sides to get back to the table. The whole idea of the rally was not to, there was no sides. It's not pro-studios, not pro-writers. It's pro, we know there's going to be a deal worked out. Let's get it done, get back to work.
Now, this is literally week five, right?
Week five, right. And yesterday, there was an article in the LA Times that said that by this week, virtually all scripted TV shows are expected to stop production. It's an immediate loss of about 15,000 jobs, and it's costing the LA economy about $21 million a day in direct production spending. That was from the LA Times.
Well, I'm going to get into indirect spending in a second, but let's just discuss what that means in terms of when we say, you know, stop shooting. Like, this isn't the case that a whole lot of people that have paid jobs just don't have anything to do and go home and sit on their hands. This means that the guy who's employed to make the sets just gets no money, right?
Right. Absolutely. And the impact trickles from there. I mean, then he doesn't buy lumber, and then, you know, it's just all the way down the chain. It affects the economy so greatly, so widely, that's the part that, you know, it's easy to kind of go, oh, those writers are on strike, and trivialize it, but it's not. It's a huge impact economically and directly on humans. I mean, the family sentiment at this rally was very strong. You know, the fact that since Christmas, especially, time doesn't help.
Well, of course, our perspective, I guess, at FX Guide is one of, you know, towards post-production. So did you see anyone there specifically that was, you know, from post-production?
A few. It was hard to. It was really a festival of logos. It was very funny. All the different shows. Everybody was wearing crew jackets and hats from all the different shows. I looked for friendly faces and didn't see any, but I found some people from different companies. In fact, let's go to a clip. I did a quick interview with two people from Level 3 Post. First, Ron Garcia.
Well, basically, we do just television, so all our shows are pretty much dwindling down right now. Our production's pretty much shut down. So we've been seeing shows slowly but surely kind of close down their doors, so we're getting our employees laid off as well.
My name's Chris Van Dyne, and I'm the director of post-production at Level 3 Post. And basically we're here mostly because, I mean, we're already having to put people out of work at our place because all the shows are running out of work to do. And, you know, we're not here because we agree or disagree with the writers. We're just here because we want to see it get resolved, you know. And we don't want to go through what happened back in the late 80s where there's 5-6 months of no work and people are losing their jobs and families are in harm's way and that type of thing. That's basically the whole deal.
I mean, it's like the strike really couldn't come at a worse time, could it, Jeff, in the terms of families, just in terms of Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. There were a lot of people there with their kids, and kids holding signs, and all those were usually slanted toward the Christmas angle. It's pretty devastating. I mean, people were talking about, I heard people in the crowd talking about canceling vacation trips for the holidays. Sure, it affects people pretty directly.
Now, for those of us not in LA, we've heard dribs and drabs about some shows, especially the nighttime shows like Jay Leno and stuff, or Dave Letterman, who are paying their staff, they're paying their non-writing staff during the strike. Is that must be like the exception to the rule, right?
Yeah, and I think it's only the big guys like Letterman and Leno that are doing that, and Jon Stewart, I believe, are the only three that I even know of that are doing that. And that's not an open-ended check. That's being analyzed on a week-by-week basis. And I heard some amazing, I can't think of them off the top of my head, but I heard some amazing figures about what that costs per week to fund. It's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is, like, I mean, there could be like 80 people on a show easily that that aren't anything to do directly with the negotiations, like the, and nor are they actors or principal producer types. They're just people on shows that aren't actually and don't have any work to do. And the other thing is that that's for that group, there is no makeup, right? It's not like they're suddenly going to get, you know, all of that work coming back later because, you know, you're employed to do a week's work. If you're not working for a week, you just don't get any money, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I think 80 is probably even a good estimate of the number of people on each show because that was a number I heard thrown out for, like, the Carson Daly show, which is a late night on one of the other channels. He was coming back because he said he couldn't, 80 people were out of work because the show was off and he couldn't, you know, fathom that, so they wanted to come back. And so if that's got that, you got to figure Letterman, Leno, people like that probably have bigger staffs than that even.
Now, if somebody isn't a writer, or rather, sorry, if somebody is their own writer, I should say, they are allowed to work or not? I mean, if how does it work?
I think that, I'm not certain about this, but I thought that the reason that Letterman and Leno were out in particular was that they are writers as well.
Right. And so... so there must be a whole lot of shows that are still able to go ahead. I mean, is quiz shows affected by this? You know, I mean.
Oh, I'm pretty sure game shows are affected. Yeah, I'm pretty sure all that, anything scripted, anything that's got any, well, anything that uses writers, I would say.
So, because I mean,
the only thing I know
about
of
reality shows being kind of
reality shows is what's going to fill the gap, and that's actually been a big bone of contention in the strike negotiations. Is the compensation for writers on reality shows, which are not classified often as writers. That's actually a big part of this negotiation, I understand. And so you are going to see, you know, more annoying, insipid reality shows piled up to fill airtime on the networks. But the networks are starting to feel the pinch, apparently, too. They were talking that, you know, the ad revenues are starting to go down immediately because people aren't paying the same amount of money for reruns as they are for first runs. And, you know, the thing that it's interesting, I saw some signs for like the show Pushing Daisies, and people there from Bionic Woman and a show called Chuck, they're all new shows this year. Well, all of a sudden your first season, you've got a huge hole and you're just trying to build an audience. And now you got to hope that as production shuts down, when you come back, are you going to be able to get that audience back? Are you going to be able to build, you know, you're trying to make the show survive. And I got to think that some of the actors are going to get picked up for movie roles to fill their time. If I were a casting person, I'm sure I'd be cherry picking the cream of the crop from some of these TV shows that are, you know, if you had a movie opportunity ready to go.
So getting back to post-production, how long do you reckon the pipe is between... I mean, clearly on some shows like that are doing dailies, it's instantaneous, right? But for others, it might take a while. I mean, I wonder, for example, like a program like Heroes that has a lot of post, whether that's immediately, you know, 5 weeks has used up anything that was in the can, and at what point do all of those sorts of large episodic facilities hurt?
I think they're hurting now. It's from, you know, definitely. I think that those are already starting to feel the drop-off. There's no more new footage, no more edited episodes. It's pretty much the only thing that's not affected yet directly is feature film. They're predicting that's 6 to 8 months out. Most people I've talked to in features are busy and say they're busy for the foreseeable future. I would say that probably translates to first quarter.
But that must also mean that it must be really easy, or well, not easy, but it must be much easier to staff for a feature right now, right? Because episodic must be drying up and talent pool locally must be available, therefore, for doing feature work.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens when this, you know, somebody who's been working on an episodic may need for survival to jump into a feature. And then how do you do that? It's accepting a job where you have to, you're going to drop everything and run back when the show comes back. I mean, you do end up with people changing shows and changing directions.
But it also means that there's a risk that people will undercut to get business, because if you've got a post house and you're looking down the barrel of a writer's strike, you might be like, well, I'll low bid this film to get it, because at least that'll tie my guys up for 6 months.
Sure. I could see that. Yeah.
Which, you know, is pretty harsh. I mean, that I think it's hard outside LA to just appreciate how much the film and TV industry dominates Los Angeles, certainly in that whole sort of Santa Monica, you know, obviously there's financial district of LA, which is a bit different, but I mean, it really is a huge deal.
Oh yeah. I believe it's the largest industry in the state. Certainly the large, one of the larger exports of the United States is entertainment. You know, so saying it's a huge impact. I mean, it's just seeing the number of people. I asked a policeman there, and he said he estimated it was over 1,000. There was no way to get a real good, accurate number. But just a variety of people and different, all the different shows.
Let me bring you back to another topic that you and I have discussed in the past, which is outsourcing overseas. Mm-hmm. Is this going to accelerate that phenomenon? One would imagine that it must.
I believe that Canada started doing a lot of stuff during the last big strike that happened. A lot of stuff started moving to Canada, and we see how that turned out. There's a lot of post-production done in Canada now as a result.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard quite a bit of discussion about the fact that this will be a huge boon for web production or internet or, you know, netcasting sort of stuff. But to me, they're quite different markets. I mean, the market for episodic and high-end feature film stuff, the sort of stuff you mentioned already, Heroes, Brothers and Sisters, you know, Bionic Woman, etc., that's really not a market that's going to get filled by a netcasting kind of show. I mean, these are narrative dramas, very big production values.
Sure.
So that has to mean that you would turn to, say, the UK, Canada, to start buying in programs, or at least to you know, diversifying your production offshore.
Yeah. It's hard, though. I mean, on the TV show side, you're not going to pack up the whole cast. They're not going to go. I mean, they're honoring those pickup lines. You know, you can't just pick up the show somewhere else. It's got to wait till this is resolved before that kind of stuff picks back up.
Yeah. I guess
it's going to dry up.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they have hours to fill on air, though, right? I mean, they've got to fill them with something. Is reruns really going to cut it?
Right, I know.
I mean, it seems like there's a cascading problem. Like the daily shows are the first to die, right? And then the short episodic stuff that, you know, obviously didn't have the lead times went next. And then as the episodic dries up into about the second month. Effectively, you start to get the first twinges of what's going on the TV movies or made-for-TV movies, and then finally the feature films.
Mm-hmm.
But that feature film thing, as you said, was 6 months out, maybe, like before that starts to fully.
Yeah, they say 6 to 8. I think that's what David estimated. David Kahn interviewed him from Variety when the strike started. I think that's what his guess was.
Is there a sense in? I mean, any sense that there's any expectation? Is there? I'm trying to gauge. Locally in LA, whether there's any sort of thought, well, this is going to go for at least X amount of time because otherwise it's not going to bite. Because we did think there may be something happening before Christmas when those talks seem to have collapsed.
Yeah, it seems to have been an ugly Friday night. Well, you know, everybody's really concerned about how does this dovetail into the SAG negotiations, which come up in the summer, I believe, and also the directors come up. And I think that's why you're seeing such tough negotiations on the studio side and on both sides, because you know how this goes, everybody expects those to go, and you know, the industry can't survive if all three are out. If this all dovetails in and becomes one big strike, it could get really bad.
Yeah, it's almost inconceivable to imagine that happening, and yet it's also hard to imagine that if things sort out favorably. I mean, I guess it's going to come down to how committed the writers are, but we've already seen, and though it was a few years ago, they certainly seem to have the resolution to go the distance.
Yeah. Well, and that was the whole point of today's event was absolutely there will be, you know, this is going to be resolved. Everybody's going to go back to work. You know, let's not make it 6 months from now. Let's lock everybody in a room and throw away the key until they've hashed something out and stop this walking away from the table and stop the, you know, non-productive negotiations. You know, there's been talk of the studios have some end game in mind that they're just trying to string along to, and you know, who knows, but the spirit of today's rally was absolutely none of that matters. What matters is get this deal worked out and get this done, and let's move on, let's get back to work. I saw my favorite sign of the day was, I want my 70-hour work week back.
Yes. Yes, there was also a lot of signs. We'll put a lot of these up in the online, but there are also some great photos you took of sequester yourselves until you reach a verdict.
Yeah.
Let's resolve our issues. It was, it really was fairly, you know, bipartisan to use that. It was just not.
Yeah, it was. Actually, the writer, I actually overheard one of the organizers talking about one of the, there was one sign that said, "We support our writers." And they were like, you know, should we talk to them? Because that's not really the spirit of this. We're not supposed to be pro writer or pro studio. We're just, get this solved, you know. And I thought that was kind of cool that was the, it was the overwhelming spirit when I talked to people in the crowd. That was kind of everybody. Well, that's why I stopped doing interviews, because everybody I asked said the exact same thing, which was, you know, well, actually, let's play a clip right now of a couple of people put together talking about what's affected by the strike and how it affects them.
Any scripted television show is affected, and you've got a small group of people affecting a large group of people, and you see here there's going to be thousands of people here today, and they're all going to be without work come the holidays. So we want them to get back to the table and strike a deal.
The biggest reason we're here is because we represent all the families that are affected and people who have had to change their holiday plans and who just want to work. They don't have a side, but there's people in pre-production, production, and post-production, and it affects thousands of people. We just want them to strike a deal.
So families being affected was, of course, a big theme, as they said. And I think that it was just a good spirit. You know, first of all, I got to say, being over, going to Hollywood and have the streets blocked off. I got over there about 8:30, and the streets were blocked off, and you know, I don't, it's like, if you live in L.A., you probably don't go to Hollywood and Vine too, or Hollywood and Highland too often.
It's certainly not a destination that locals seem to hang out at. I think it's mainly busloads of tourists.
You live over there, I'm sure they do, and I'm sure there's great restaurants over there, and there's the Disney El Capitan Theaters across the street, and the Kodak Theaters there. I mean, they're the Graumans for movies. I mean, it does, but I mean, it's not like I go over and hang out in Hollywood these days on a Sunday morning. So it was really cool because it was empty and quiet and just blocked off. And so it was kind of cool walking around over there for the rally beforehand, before it all got started.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope that it gets resolved. It's very hard to know what advice you could offer somebody that's currently working in visual effects in Los Angeles right now, because there doesn't really seem to be any particular place to hide, does there?
No. I mean, I keep hearing there's lots of work out there. So, you know, I don't think that necessarily visual effects artists will have a hard time finding something right now. I think that movies are bustling, and until that dries up, it'll be fine. When that dries, it's going to get ugly. You know, commercials will still be going, obviously. So, I mean, there's always, that's the one thing about this business, is there's a lot of diversification. So, you know, companies that do a lot of variety can weather this better. If you're strictly focused on episodic, you're going to be hurting right now, unless you do reality shows, which will probably still be going.
Yeah, you're right. I think that in the short term, commercials and features will look after the postage, except for, as you say, the episodic and people doing dailies and stuff, which, you know, an encore video or somebody that has huge telecine set up doing episodic work, you'd imagine, I don't know, but you'd imagine that would bite. But if this goes, you know, 4 months and we're at the start of, well, you know, week into month two now, I do think that once it starts to bite into feature films, it could really make a significant difference.
Yes, it will be ugly.
Is there any more scheduled, just in finishing up, any more scheduled talks? Like, is there another round before Christmas? Is it just,
you know,
a stalemate? Where is
I don't know. I heard they walked away Friday, but I haven't really heard the details of all that. I haven't followed. It changes all the time. I mean, it's really, There's a bunch of good websites, United Hollywood I've been following. There's some resource links that I posted in the original story that are still active.
I must say, one thing that's been different about this strike than obviously before is that the actual writers have found it very easy to get a voice, because with the thing advent of the internet and YouTube and stuff, it's been pretty easy to go on YouTube and find actual writers from picket lines doing stuff. And the writers themselves have been very media savvy in organizing events and having stars on the picket line. And and of course they're writers, so they're naturally creative.
Yep.
So they tend to produce, you know, really good stuff.
The WGA has done a great job with that. The rallies have been orchestrated, and it's like, okay, today is Stars of Shows Day, and today, and then the next day they have some big musician come and play somewhere. They've managed to keep it in the press actively and regularly and interestingly. And like you say, the internet has just been amazing. I mean, doing research on both of these things, looking at articles and pictures and, you know, just like browsing Flickr, for example, for pictures from Strategy is fascinating.
The
viral stuff, the YouTube stuff has been...
I don't think the producers have fared so well. I don't think the producers have... I've yet to actually adequately see something that you describe as really good, positive, focused PR from the producer's point of view.
Yeah, although it was reported that they've now enlisted some very high-profile damage control people. I read that last week to start doing exactly that. So I would look for some studio point of view things to start popping up.
I heard someone say this during the week, but the trouble is, you know, that when you start getting the writers articulating, I am from, you know, The Daily Show, I am from Heroes, and I want to work, and they're not letting me, and, you know, that hits to the fan who's like, well, I want to see my show and I want to see it now, and they clearly want to make it, and I like those guys because they're funny. So suddenly the studio executives fall very far from grace in a sort of a general populist run, and I don't know how influential that is to actual negotiations, of course, but
well, it's,
do you know what I mean?
It's also going to start affecting the normal viewer. I mean, really soon, up till now the shows have been just running like normal. I heard, for example, Desperate Housewives had a an episode that ended with a tornado, I think, in the neighborhood, and the network decided that was a good breaking point. It would be more of a cliffhanger than going on to the next episode. It'd be, since they figured they were going to have to break the season anyway. So you're already going to see the end of certain shows now, like starting the next couple weeks, I'm sure. So, you know, stock up on DVDs, stock up on, like we TiVo'd all the Planet Earth series in HD. You know, I'm sure people are starting to think that, and it's going to start affecting, you know, everybody soon when all that entertainment starts drying up.
Well, look, thanks for going out there this morning and talking to people. Thanks also for taking time, having got back to talk and just outline what's going on. I think it is a pretty interesting story, and I think that we certainly want to make sure we've got an eye on it in terms of the post-production and visual effects industry, and make sure that side of things is reported.
Absolutely.
Check back every month.
Well, I'll keep an eye on this group that's doing the strike a deal thing. I was pretty impressed with how they organized this today, and hopefully the word will get out, and if they do another event like this, we can help promote it too, that you know, it does help to have masses of people out there, and it was a nice day for a walk in Hollywood. So if they do it again, hopefully we can get a bigger turnout even than this one, and just keep putting pressure on and show that we want the same thing. We want to get back. We want everybody to have jobs and get back to work. And
I think if you're in the Los Angeles effects community or post-production community, and you're a regular at FX Guide, then please drop us a line and tell us how it's affecting you. We'd like to have your stories either on or off the record. And as you notice stuff starting to bite at your facility, we'd love the heads up to keep an eye on what's going on, and not from a sensationalist point of view, but just to make sure that that side of the story is well covered.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
All right, well, Jeff, look after yourself, man. You're at least extremely busy on features, right?
Yeah, I'm on feature side, so I should be fine for the foreseeable future.
Are we allowed to tell people what you're working on right now?
I'm not sure, still, that's not. I mean, the brothers directed Alien vs. Predator 2, which comes out on Christmas Day, I believe. Good family Christmas movie.
Good family Christmas movie. So, yes.
Wait.
Did you work on...
Oh, yeah. I worked on that. So that's the most recent project that can be seen soon.
That's the trouble. We talk to you, and you can't tell us what you're working on, but, of course, what you used to work on a month or two ago is now, you know, approaching being in cinemas, so it's a weird time lag.
That's true. Well, I can check my IMDb and see what I'm working on next, I'm sure.
Was there something you wanted to say? Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about, I should mention the Sundance news.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more news about that in January, but yes, it's great. Our FX PhD film, I Love Sarah Jane, got into Sundance, and another film that we worked on the previous term to that, which was Spider, also got into Sundance, and so we're very pleased about that.
Yeah, very exciting, very cool.
And we'll, in fact, be going to Sundance and having FX Guide TV live from Sundance in the middle of January. So that'll be fun.
Winter gear.
Oh, yeah. No. Jeff sent me a lot of links about how cold it was. And being a Sydney guy in the middle of a... Well, it was 33 degrees centigrade here yesterday. Now, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but I'm gonna find that out. If you fill for a second, Jeff, I'll tell you how much that is in the old numbers.
Yeah, well...
It's a lot.
We were watching football today, and they were bouncing between two games. One of them was in a snowstorm. I think John was flying today because he got hit with an ice storm. I got an email from him from a coffee shop saying that. So there was one of the games was in a climate where people were just bundled up and there was ice storms coming through, and then Dylan was in shorts and t-shirts because it was in Florida or something.
Yeah, we're at 92 degrees here yesterday. But having said that, I got last night to go to the Opera House in Sydney and see Eric Idle's Not the Messiah. So as a Monty Python fan, even in the heat, I didn't care. But okay. I've gone off the reservation.
Great, though. What a great night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sydney International Orchestra and Eric Idle doing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life and What Has the Roman Empire Ever Done for Us is amazing.
That's awesome.
That's a dream. Good talking to you, man. I'll see you at Sundance, if not before. Have a good Christmas. I'm sure I'll talk to you before then.
Yes, indeed. You too.
And to everybody, as I said, if you've got any stories and as things start biting in post-production, please let us know so we can keep the story alive and also just flag what it means to, our brothers and sisters, as it were, in post-production and visual effects. Okay, I'm Mike Seymour, and on behalf of myself and Jeff...
Thanks, Mike.
And John, who isn't with us, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2007 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.